Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This email is from Tyler.
Tyler says, hey Ben and Nathan, I was wondering if someone had a higher LSAT and GPA than another applicant, but the other applicant had better extracurricular items and personal statement, who will do better in the admission cycle? Thanks, Tyler. What do you think, Ben? Do you want to be high LSAT, high GPA, no extracurriculars, mediocre personal statement? Or do you want to be low LSAT, low GPA, lots of extracurriculars, rockin' personal statement? Who's going to do better in the admission cycle, do you think?
Do you want to knock down a building with a spoon or with a wrecking ball?
Yeah, if we're trying to break your way into law school, you need to, you know, there's a brick wall there. How are you going to get through the brick wall? The LSAT and GPA is the wrecking ball, and you can just knock your way straight in. These yep. extracurricular items and personal statement, I mean, that's like you can't get through the wall in the traditional ways, and so now you're going to have to dig a tunnel under the wall with a spoon.
Yeah. Good luck.
And yeah, it's Tyler, you know, go to LSATdemon.com/scholarships. We can estimate, we can do our best to try to predict what kinds of not only admissions offers, but scholarship offers you're going to get based solely on LSAT GPA and a URM checkbox and extracurriculars, personal statement. They're nice, but they don't really move the needle on, I mean, they're literally, we don't even include them obviously on our estimator because how could we? But the estimator is pretty damn accurate. If you apply broadly, you're going to get results that are, I think, broadly in line with our estimator. Our estimator is based on public data. We're doing the best we can to just extrapolate from the 509 public information that these schools provide. And from the public information on LSAT GPA that these schools provide and scholarship money that they provide, we're then able to predict what's going to happen, again, just based on the numeric indicators, primarily LSAT and GPA. So extracurriculars, personal statement, I think it hardly moves the needle.
Yeah. We appreciate you writing in. Thank you for asking this question. I am curious, though, we get this question all the time. So I guess it just must be a new turnover of listeners or something, because it's almost all we ever talk about.
Yep. Yeah. Well, but I mean, the law schools are out there talking incessantly about holistic applications, right? Like they're the ones that give the students these impressions. Yeah. Because they don't want to show you what the reality is. Like they don't want to tell you the truth that LSAT and GPA are king. They don't want to tell you the truth that they would love to deny you if you don't have the right LSAT and GPA. That's the truth. I mean, these schools
actually accept you and require full payment, right, because they know you can't go anywhere else. Yep.
Right. Both of those are all fine outcomes. You know, if you apply with a rockin' LSAT and GPA, they're going to probably give you a scholarship.
Yep.
If you apply with a shitty LSAT and GPA, then there's two outcomes, one of which I think is worse than the other one. One outcome is they just deny you. I think that's good for you. The middle option is the worst, where they admit you and try to charge you these exorbitant prices that they charge people who are, you know, unsavvy enough to actually cut the check or to sign your name for borrowing $250,000. I think that's the terrible outcome. And these schools benefit from both of those outcomes. They benefit from denying you because partially law schools are ranked on how selective they are. So the more people they deny, the more selective they look. So then they now are a more prestigious school because it's harder to get into. So the law schools would love to tell you, oh, you have a bad LSAT, bad GPA. Oh, well, but we do holistic. I mean, it's fine. You should apply. You should definitely write a personal statement. You know, oh, you've got great extracurricular. Oh, that your resume is going to be really good on this application. But they really just want you to apply so that they can then decide what they're going to do with you. And if you don't have the right LSAT and GPA, the odds are pretty strong that they're going to either deny you, which again would be fine, or they're going to admit you and try to charge you. You know, you might be the You might be among the 10% of students at their school that are actually paying full price.
Yeah, and interestingly, having a high LSAT and GPA does not help them generally. It does not help most schools, because although they want high scoring applicants, most applicants who end up with higher scores go up the ladder.
Yeah, and we've seen this egregiously. I will never forget Kansas doing this egregiously, where it was an undergraduate pre-law society being counseled by someone from the actual Kansas law school. And mm-hmm. I remember this lady from the Kansas law school telling these poor kids, oh, well, yeah, most people don't score over 160 and most people don't really improve when they take the test again. So, you know, if you're close to our median, you should just go ahead and apply. Mm-hmm. And well, okay, that is ridiculously, cynically self-serving for her to say that, because yeah, if you're applying with an LSAT at their median, then they're probably going to admit you. The sad thing is, though, like Ben was just saying, they don't benefit from you improving your LSAT by 10 points, even though it makes you a transformatively better student. Like, you're way better applicant if you have 10 more LSAT points. But they're not going to tell you that, because if you got those 10 more LSAT points, then you would no longer be going to their shitty law school.
Either you're not going or you're going for free.
Right. And that's bad for them in both cases. Like, they don't want you to do that. They yeah. want you to apply with a median LSAT so that they can admit you and charge you money.
Yeah.
Or they want you to apply with a worse LSAT so they can deny you or admit you and charge you full price. Mm-hmm. They want you to apply with slightly above their median, because that raises the prestige of their school. But they do know that they're probably going to have to give you scholarship in that case.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not excited about you applying with way above their median. They probably will still admit you and give you a scholarship, but they're like, they probably also are going, yeah, but this person's going to get a better offer at some other better school anyway. And so, you know, they're not.
Goodbye. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I don't think I'm ever going to stop complaining about this, because I saw it happen live. Like, I just, you know, these are impressionable people, right? These are like 20-year-olds sitting in this room at Kansas, and we've got the law school lady there telling them not to try to get better at the LSAT.
Yep.
Just go ahead and apply with what you've got, because she's trying to poach the Kansas undergrads to go to Kansas law.
Yeah.
You just got to be. And I think that's why, Ben, I think that's why we get so many of these emails.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be the law schools that are out there hyping up these soft factors and acting like it's a, you know, really going to make a huge difference in your law school application. Oh no, you don't have to worry about the hard stuff. You don't have to learn how to work the wrecking ball. You've got that spoon. Yeah.
That's you got the spoon. Well, so there's even more benefits. I'm just thinking about it right now. You mentioned this on a previous episode, but the writing sample on the LSAT, another soft factor, can't get you into school, but it can get you out. And maybe talking about these soft factors gets people to apply, gets people to talk about them, and then you can deny the crazies because they're going off on some tangent that knows.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, sorry for being so cynical all the time, but we don't think that law schools are out there like doing, you know, justice for the world. We think that law schools are out there, in many cases, they are just parasitic on our student loan system, and they're just there to try to soak as much money from unqualified people as they can.
That is an apt description. They are parasitic on the student loan program. That is true. The student loan program is making all this possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be a totally different deal if we weren't unlimited. I mean, at least, for God's sake, they could step in and they could say, hey, hard cap on how much people are allowed to borrow.
Yeah.
But they're not even doing that.
Yeah.
Department of Education is not doing that. So that's why we're in this broken ass system. And that's why we say don't pay for law school. Like, you just don't have to. They're giving scholarships look at the 509 reports. They're giving scholarships to people who have high LSAT and high GPA. So the answer, Tyler, to your question is, if you want to go to law school for a reasonable price, you need the LSAT and GPA. These softs might get you in, But in that case, like, you're just going to be brutally overpaying for a product that is very questionably worth it. Anything else?
No, thanks for writing in, Tyler. Email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.